What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
All right, here we go on a Friday, beautiful Friday in KC. Woo! It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We got James producing the show today. He's filling in for Drew. Drew will be back on Monday.
We think, you know, just as long as he gets on his flight, doesn't have any trouble.
I assume everything will be good on that way. And actually, it's a good day to have James filling in, specifically because a little bit later on, we're going to talk more about what could happen in 2028 with flag football in the Olympics, and could Mahomes be in that? James coaches flag football. He's wearing a flag football jersey.
Unplanned. I want to make that
totally,
very clear.
Totally unplanned. He did not know we were talking about that until a little while ago. So yeah, this is perfect. We'll get into that. Also, it is a Friday, obviously, as I said. So that means Fan Club Friday, 1 o'clock hour. Our guy Ben Heisler is going to join us. You guys know Heiss. We'll talk some sports with him. We'll find out what he's been up to. He's already in the building today. He's actually filling in over on one of our sister stations. So he's
got a full day of work.
He does. He's working.
He must have just taken the day off at H&R Block.
Well, don't get him in any trouble. Don't get him in any trouble. I don't know what his plans were.
I mean, at this point, I think he's announced where he works.
I don't know what his schedule is today, but he's going to join us a little bit later on. We're also 30 minutes away from having Jake Eisenberg from the Royals join us. We'll talk about not only this big series against the Cardinals, I-70 series, going to be a great crowd throughout the entire weekend against the Cardinals. And of course, last night was the 2015 and 1985 Royals Gala. I saw from his Instagram, Jake was there. So I want to get a little behind the scenes aspect of what occurred last night at that gala. So it looked awesome for some of the photos, obviously. And some of the, of course, every name you could think of was there from the 2015 team. And obviously multiple guys from the 85 team. were there. And so we'll get into that with Jake Eisenberg in just a bit. You guys can check out the show on video. We'll get that up and running. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the show.
It's going right now. It's over there. It's running. We're good shape.
All right, man.
Per the promise, since we were joking about the cheese and crackers earlier, I brought some cheese, some cheddar.
We have charcuterie fan club.
I didn't bring like cured meats.
Oh, okay.
But I brought some cheese and crackers and some wine.
Oh,
this might be a first.
Fancy today.
Have we ever done a fan club with some wine?
We have not.
I should have said jackets required. Make you put on like a blazer on top of your t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough to like, you know, we wear collars in this, you know.
But where's the wine? Okay. Where's the wine from? What kind of wine are we drinking?
California Cab. We were both in California this week, so I figured we should.
Is this the bottle you just got?
Yeah, I picked it up from the store yesterday.
Oh, I mean, like
no.
I could have brought a bottle in.
Well, you know, I didn't know if it had made it back safely. I didn't know if you were saving it for another reason.
I mean,
but,
it's going to be unopened for a while, probably
till maybe a date situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
Usually open a bottle of wine on yourself on a Friday night, right?
No, I do not drink at my apartment by myself. I don't do that. I've never been that. Someone else has to be over, or I'm bringing it to another event. Usually, is how it goes for me.
Like you're bringing a bottle. Like, oh, I'll bring a bottle of wine. Yeah. Since we're all getting dinner together.
That's
or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, I just bought like a California Cab. And some wine glasses.
Perfect.
I didn't bring like I brought Stimmel's wine glasses. Not technically the right.
Okay. We're gonna be all right. You know, we're gonna be all right. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's actually start with some Chiefs talk before we get to the Royals throughout the show today. Talk about the big weekend ahead out at Kauffman Stadium. Just a little bit more on the schedule front. We already talked a ton about it yesterday, but just everybody, I think, has figured out how they think the schedule is going to go. And we know the win total in Vegas and even here on the local books and everything, 11.5, over-under wins, 11.5. Are they going to win 12 games? Are they going to win fewer than 12 games is obviously the question when it comes to that. But when you look at the schedule, we asked Nate Taylor yesterday, like, all right, what's that sneaky one? Everybody knows, like, man, that team has no business beating you, but it's going to be either a loss or at least it's going to be ugly. The Panthers game last year was that game where they won, but nobody was happy. Nobody was happy after it. I don't think players were happy with how they played even, but they won. Nate told us he thinks it's that Colts game late on the second half of the schedule just because it's right before the big Thanksgiving game against Dallas. So I'll ask you guys on the text line, and I'll ask you, what's that sneaky loss or just game where you feel like, okay, they have no business losing this, but it's going to be just a grind and you're going to not be happy about it even during the game? Is there one that stands out? The Colts one's a strong answer. I get what his logic was on that.
I
think it's Jacksonville still on the road.
That's the one.
Oh, okay.
Weirdly enough, we don't try to go in here and give each other the answers ahead of time because we don't want to necessarily have the same answers because maybe that makes for slightly less interesting conversation. And we can certainly give the other answers for that. Jacksonville. I make fun of them constantly. I don't think that they're a particularly well-branded team. I'm not like, oh yeah, Liam Cohen's going to come solve other problems. It's a perfectly fine hire. There's nothing wrong with the hire in general, but that's not like a team that you run into and you're like, oh no, what are we going to do? Monday Night Football feels like it should be a standalone, feels like it should be an easy win for the Chiefs. And that feels like somehow the one that gets ugly. Monday night, Trevor Lawrence, right? That feels like it. Because I'll be hard-pressed to tell you it's the Giants. No.
And I don't care, by the way.
Unless you let me count like a Raiders divisional game.
A divisional game counts for the, oh, it's going to sneak up on you kind of thing. Because some people have texted in the Denver games. That's Christmas night. I'm not worried about them looking past an opponent or anything like that. I think typically for the one that sneaks up on you, it's an opponent that you're clearly better than that has no chance of making the playoffs, most likely. I would say the Colts fit that category. I would think the Jags probably fit that category. And yet, it's just one ahead of another big game. Remember, the Jags one is right after the Ravens game. So the Chiefs would have already played the Chargers and the Eagles and the Giants. And then you go on the road to Jacksonville before you have a game against the Lions, if I'm not mistaken. That's why that Jags one is one that would stand out to me. Or you're like, you know you're better than them, but that could just be kind of an ugly game, fortunate maybe to get a win kind of situation there. A lot of people saying the Giants, though. That's the number one answer on the text.
I don't know, man. Russell Wilson and Malik Nabers. What else outside of that? Abdul Carter, the star of the show. Like, what, you know, like, other than that, I have a really hard time seeing it. Cam Ward? Is that the Bryce Young version?
No,
I mean, that was around the same time of year. Cam Ward, Bryce Young, young quarterback.
I don't think it's the Titans. I think the logic on the Giants from some people on the text line is that you would have already played in Brazil in week one, and then you have the Super Bowl rematch home opener, Eagles, and then you go. Yes, like that's a that's just a heck of a first two game stretch, and then you kind of get in the groove of things against the Giants, but maybe, you know, you're a little worn out already.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I do understand it. Like, I was trying to get, like, I was looking at it, and I love kind of the game that is the early version. You and I know that come August, a week before the season or the week of the season, we'll give our official Chiefs record predictions. I'm like, all right, where are the losses, right? Yeah. And I know, like, I agree with you. I will almost always, when I predict a Chiefs record, choose a weirdo loss. So let's just call it the road Jacksonville game. I'll choose one divisional game loss, maybe two this year. I think it could be a 4-2 year. Okay, I'm up to three. I think the Eagles won. Could be a loss, but I'll give them the win in that one, but I'll call the Buffalo one a loss. Now I'm up to four. And then, yeah, one other loss between the at Cowboys, you know, Eagles that we mentioned earlier, Commanders or Lions. So if you made me just like put pen to paper today, I think it's probably a 12-5 team, with the sneaky loss being the swing game goal to get him back to 13-4. If that ugly game we're talking about against the Jags, against the Giants, against the Colts later in the year, if they avoid that, well, then I find myself back into that 13-win camp. That's kind of how I view the schedule. Couple losses in the division, a loss between the difficult ones, Lions, Commanders, all outside of those, the weirdo one, and then the obvious one. The obvious one, to me, is the Bills. The obvious loss, the most obvious one on the record, is probably on the road against the Bills. That's the easiest one to predict, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm trying to go through it real quick. And I have on the first half of the season, before the bye, I have them losing to Baltimore, losing to Detroit, and at Buffalo. So that's two home losses.
They got them at three there.
That's a 6-3 start to the season. Then they come back from the bye. They win at Denver. They're 7-3. Win at Indy. 8-3. Win at Dallas. 9-3. Beat the Texans. 10-3. The Chargers game potentially is a loss. That gets us to 10-4. And then they're 11-4 against Tennessee. 12-4 against Denver. And then week 18, maybe they rest their starters, so they finish 12-5. If the game matters, they win it, and they're 13-4. So that's kind of where I'm at. 13-4 if they need the week 18 game. But my people will freak out on the first half, though, because I do have them going 6-3 in the first nine.
On that stretch, and why would you complain?
And that's losses against Baltimore, Detroit, and Buffalo for me. And this is something, as you said, that'll change by the time we get to the start of the season, I'm sure. But right now, that's my first quick glance at it over the last 24, 48 hours. That's kind of where I have them.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. I do really like hearing everyone's different answers for the sneaky one. But you're right. The division one, a lot of that is, I like to lump those in together. Like, what do you think their record is going to be in the division? You pretty much said 5-1, I think, there on that mm-hmm. one, where you think they're getting, you know.
I have them losing to the Chargers in week 15. As their division loss. And then, as I said, the swing one is week 18. Doesn't matter against the Raiders or not. That'll be the difference. It'll be similar to this past year, right? Where the Chiefs would have swept the AFC West this past year. But in week 18, they had Carson Wentz starting, and they clearly had no game.
You made that bet too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That's a sucky one. And they got rolled
before the season for the Chiefs to sweep the AFC West, and they were 5-0 going into week 18, and then they threw in the towel. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It happens.
You got to deal with it. Coming up in about what? 20 minutes, we'll talk about another stadium update.
Yes.
After we get with Jake Eisenberg from the Royals, there's a special session being threatened already, and I don't know, some pretty strong words from people over on the Kansas side about what they think could happen with the Chiefs and the Royals, and some dates. I like dates.
Yeah, I feel like
not
we are.
Not a vague date, dates.
Yeah, I feel like, and we'll get to another station in town had the Speaker of the House on earlier today, and we'll get to some of those comments, and it feels like everything is converging towards this. June is going to be the showdown month, and things are going to get settled one way or the other in June, from a financial, legislative, you know, deal making perspective. So yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
But the biggest story probably yesterday in sports, other than the once again tremendous Thunder Nuggets series, which is now going to Game 7 on Sunday. Can't wait.
I'm glad.
Obviously, for that one, I told you I want a Game 7 because that series has been so fun.
I mean, who doesn't? Unless you're a diehard Thunder fan, who doesn't?
Well, Seth Wickersham's piece. First, I want to say Seth Wickersham gets some excellent stuff over the years. He got some good dirt with the Patriots. He gets some other stuff outside of it. What?
James in my ear just goes, I'm a diehard Thunder fan. We'll get to
that. Oh, okay. Great.
So James is not happy it's a Game 7.
Sorry, James. I just wanted it for the series perspective.
Yeah, I just needed to be over. I needed to be over and done with.
You're going to have to sweat out Game 7 in Oklahoma City. It'd be an awesome scene. for what it's worth. The big story yesterday was the story, the book, the future excerpts that are coming from the Wickersham book about Caleb Williams in Chicago. Now, I got to be honest. It was not a great look for Caleb Williams, because when his dad says somebody close to the team, I know you're talking to your son. like I'm not an idiot. The person who had the issue with all this stuff, that's Caleb Williams. So by all accounts, Caleb Williams didn't want to go to Chicago, thinks it's where quarterbacks go to die. That's what his dad said specifically, was trying to figure out a way to like circumvent the draft hypothetically in order to avoid the Bears, not to make matters better, was interested in the Vikings instead of the Bears, their direct rival. So all this stuff that creates all the smoke. The biggest problem it honestly creates is if it goes bad for Caleb Williams this year, he's going to get torched. Torched in Chicago. But I honestly think everything he said there was true and doesn't hold any water now.
Everything was true, and I think it's important, while it doesn't get the headlines. In that same book, Caleb Williams said, I want to change that. His dad is quoted as saying, Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die, Carl Williams, Caleb's father, told Seth Wickersham. In that same American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, which comes out soon, it also does say that Caleb said, I want to change that about Chicago. I think that's very important to know. And you're right that ultimately this doesn't matter if he wins. No Bears fan, nobody's going to care. Because by the way, what he said is correct. In the past, Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die. That's just the truth.
It has been a factually true statement.
But some of the quotes definitely are interesting about, you know, Caleb Williams allegedly told his father, I need to go to the Vikings. Let's do it, his father replied. But both Caleb and Carl knew that a trade to a division rival was extremely unlikely. Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm, telling Williams, quote, we're drafting you no matter what. That left one option, to publicly attack the Bears in the city of Chicago, hoping that it would make the situation untenable, similar to what Elway, of course, did in Baltimore Colts, 83. Then it also says later on in this piece, quote from Carl, which is Caleb's father, he's worried about me taking bullets. I don't care. I just don't agree with this bleep, you know? I'm more interested in making sure that he can do what he wants to do. So yeah, it's juicy. It's going to help sell the book. I think ultimately, though, later on in the book, it's very clear Caleb is all in on Chicago, and if he wins, nobody cares.
More than like, and yeah, I think if you're a Chicago Bears fan or whatever, you shouldn't take this and be like, he's being honest. He was quickly evaluating a situation, which was a bad one, and saying this is not a good spot to be in. One of the most interesting things as far as, do you still think Caleb Williams can be the goods? And the answer for why you think the answer should be yes, in my opinion, is the most damning stuff was on Eberflew. They were like, well, Caleb Williams was just studying tape with nobody telling him what to do. He's just like watching somebody like, am I supposed to do something with this? Or is somebody going to like direct me in a general direction? Well, I'm pretty sure Ben Johnson's going to have Caleb Williams on a study plan. He's going to be telling him what to look at, what to do, how to study defenses and read them. It all goes back to I always view these in like the macro sometimes, which is anytime you actually question, this is like where I'll fight. For the Chiefs, it's not necessarily the case, but it has been in previous times. If you ever wonder, like, well, I got to trust these guys in charge. No, you don't. A lot of them are idiots. Eberflew was an idiot. He did not know how to run a successful organization, or just over his head. Maybe he's not a stupid person. He's just over his head, because the handling of Caleb Williams was a nightmare, man. Disaster. The idea that they weren't studying, that they even kept him employed. Gold, you and I'd love to be like, we were the only two people who saw this coming. We were amongst millions of people who said, I don't know why you're keeping this guy around who you think is not doing
a
good job.
It's very obvious.
To do this. Yeah, I'd love to take some massive credit. Now, we all knew that they should have fired him before and they didn't do it. And then what happened? They fired him, Golden. It was clear they should have fired him the entire time.
What is also now obvious, though, to everybody heading into this year, just like what you just said was obvious heading into last year, what is clear this year, Caleb Williams has zero excuses anymore. Mm-hmm. I understand he has a new coach, but you have Ben Johnson, who we know from an offensive-minded perspective is pretty darn intelligent and one of the best. I don't know how he's going to be as an overall head coach and what the defense is going to look like and all that. As a play caller, as a play designer, he's going to give you opportunities to have success if you're Caleb Williams. You have DJ Moore. You have Roma Dunze, who hopefully takes a step forward. They went and revamped your entire offensive line so you're not on your ass the entire time. You got a nice running back room there. Keep going. Like, we can keep, they got a nice tight end or two in that tight end room. Like, there is plenty of weapons to have success there.
Yeah. And it's on you now. Sure.
And so Caleb Williams has as much pressure as any quarterback, other than the Josh Allen to get over the hump and win a ring, right? Or Joe Burrow to get back to the playoffs and win a ring. other than that, I think Caleb Williams easily has the most pressure. It's not Cam Ward. It's not Jaden Daniels to take the next step after having a great year. No, there's pressure for him, but Caleb Williams has the most, because if he goes out there with all these changes, again, in the positive way, and he is then people are going to say, wow, they drafted the wrong quarterback in Chicago again. So that's what he has. That's what's at stake this year. He has a chance very quickly to prove people that, hey, man, you just were in a terrible spot last year. This is the guy that we drafted for. This is why we drafted you.
Yeah.
Someone said also, Luther Burden's in that wide receiver room. He's got plenty of weapons.
Yeah, he's not short on people to throw the ball to. And not saying he should be. You and I have talked about this with rookie quarterbacks a million times. But he could just have, and this happens all the time, he could just have a better year than Jaden Daniels this year. And then he can put to bed some of this, like, instant regret the entire city of Chicago has over the quarterback that they took, and avoid all of this stuff. A lot of it is just like, man, I gotta say, if Seth Wickersham shows up at your door and he's like, I'm working on a book, you should probably avoid giving any quotes. He gets the dirt on every, like dirt in a normal way. Like, I don't think it's all damning. A lot of times it's truth-telling in a story. He's a very good writer. It's not even that. We've had Wickersham on the show.
We have.
A couple of times over the years. But man, I... Like, if he's asking about my kid, I'd be like, you know what?
Remember, these quotes were before he was in the league. These were quotes.
These were interviews that
Caleb Williams, or Caleb's father, was giving prior to last April.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Or Mays draft. So that's, it would never have happened once he was in the organization or now. But before the draft, you know, it was a little bit easier access, and you know, they were trying, remember, they were trying to, they were clearly trying to force their way to a certain extent without having to make it so public to Minnesota instead. So they wanted to be, you had Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson and all these weapons already there versus Chicago.
I will say, this is the one thing, like, never let your organization get to the point where people talk about the way to not go to your team. I've seen that in Kansas City. Like, don't you remember for all those years that the Royals would have to pay like above slot money because people didn't want to get drafted.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah.
There's multiple.
They got to pay multiple free agents, or in the draft they had to pay above slot, or they weren't going to get this guy because he was never going to sign with the Royals. Avoid that. Avoid whatever you got to do to make your organization look like that. Speaking of minor leaguers, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but
that went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah. Jack Caglione, what has he been doing here now in 36 games in AA?
No Royals game yesterday, so it was easy to pay attention to Jack Caglione in the minors yesterday. Just went another 2-for-4, 2 walks, 3 runs scored last night. I want to point out that it just so happened that J.J. Piccolo and Mike Sweeney were in town. Taking a quick look at Jack yesterday as well. I believe maybe they're there for a couple of days. I don't know the exact details of their trip, but some Royals brass.
I think we're getting close.
Down there in AA to take a look. In his last 23 games in AA, he has 103 plate appearances. Do you remember when we were talking about like they wanted him to get like 100 at-bats gold just in the minors to kind of get a sense before they were going to like move him up? He said 1 to 500 at-bats before maybe the major league, so it could have been the entire minor league season. This is just 23 games. 103 plate appearances. He's hitting .398 with a .476 on base and a 1.135 OPS. 6 homers, 5 doubles, 13 walks, 24 RBI, and he's only striking out 17% of the time. And if for some reason that number sounds high to you, it's not. It's actually a really good strikeout number. Most people don't pay attention to K numbers. They're going to see that he struck out 18 times in 23 games. Like, is that too high? It's not. That is a good strikeout rate. He's only striking out 17%. So look, we know the numbers are crazy. We know the numbers in AA are crazy. .324 average, .400 on base. I am officially at the point of that I at least want to throw it out there, Gold. Is there any chance that the Royals would now consider looking at not AAA being a factor for Jack Caglione? We're right at the press point of Hunter Renfroe. Maybe their original plan for Jack Caglione changes because not that he's just been good in AA, he's been awesome in AA. Is there any part of you that wonders if the Royals are toying with the idea of what would it look like if he didn't go to Omaha?
The longer he stays in AA, it does. But I also know what J.J. Piccolo said to us on air, and I understand things
even
can change.
Even like a week ago, yeah.
I understand things can change, but yeah, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. He always pointed out, hey, there's this other level between AA and Major League Baseball, and it's called AAA. And so that has stuck with me. Can things change and circumstances change both in the minor league level based on his own performance? Can things change based on what's going on in the big league club? Sure. Nobody's going to say, I said this, so I have to 100% stick with it on something like this. He would have his reasons for them changing their mind. But I still would be surprised, yes. Is it more likely each and every day that they consider that? I think so. But right now, I will still go back from the beginning. Go back to even last fall, let alone spring training. I always thought, and I think you for the most part agreed, that the path for Cags was going to be AA, and then check in around Memorial Day, which is a week or two away.
A little month-long stint in AAA.
Memorial Day or so.
6 weeks.
Check in, and then maybe that's the call-up. That's the call up to AAA, and then he's in AAA for a month or two, and that puts you at the end of July or so, and that's when he gets called up. Timelines can change, and JJ has never put a timeline on it. That's one thing he's been clear on. They don't have a specific drop dead date or something like that, but I have always thought Memorial Day makes a lot of sense to call him up to AAA, and we're only a week or so from that. Maybe it happens next week, which is a week before.
I mean, at this point, I've made it very clear. There is absolutely no more reason for him to play AA baseball. Either put him in AAA or put him in the bigs. There's no more reason for AA. In the last month of playing baseball in AAA, he's hitting .400 with a .500 on base percentage and a near .1200 OPS. We're good. The strikeouts are way down. By all accounts, he's playing a passable to above passable right field. Like, I'm just asking if there's like plans change. And I don't hold JJ to something he told us before the season, which was, hey man, there is this level called AAA.
Yep.
It has happened before, part of it, because that was a more than fair comment at that time. Because Gold, at that time when he was saying that, Jack Caglione played like 6 games in AA. He had barely even scratched the surface of playing minor league baseball. It was a more than fair thing to say. Now we've got what, 40 games in Double A, and he's and he's killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like plans can change based on performance. You might have also always thought Double A to Triple A to the bigs, and it was going to be August or September, or it was going to be next year. And like somebody pointed out, like, this is small, but like MLB Pipeline always puts their projected arrival in the major league time. Mm-hmm. The original one at the beginning of this year said 2026. They have altered that to say 2025. He is now a top 10 prospect in all of baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. He has always been the number one prospect in the Royal system. We got almost 40 games in the minors, and it's starting to look kind of ludicrous. No,
something's going to happen
here pretty
soon.
Starting to look a little too
easy. I feel like something's happening pretty soon. And by that pretty soon, I really believe in this two-week time frame. And I tend to think that's a AAA call-up more than a big league call-up, but we'll see. I know what fans want.
I'm just asking if you think they're kicking it around. Do you think that they've had an internal discussion about skipping AAA?
Has it ever come up? Yes. Yeah. Has it ever come up? I'm sure
it has. Did
they
get close on it? That I don't know. I think that they kicked it around in a meeting? I kind of think
that. Has it ever come up? I would assume yes.
I plan to ask J.J. Piccolo that
next week.
Next Tuesday. Just be like, let's say he gets called up or doesn't. Like, have you guys had any discussion? Has anybody ever in any room ever brought up the possibility of, like, what if he didn't play at Omaha? Because we've talked about the pros and cons. That is a hitter-friendly park. And the pitchers are of a different quality. Like, they don't have the stuff, but they are better at using their stuff. It's just such a
some of the conversation has to be, too, okay, you see what's happening in the outfield and the big league level. And if you don't believe you're going to be able to make an aggressive trade, then that might change your thought process. And you and I think they need to do multiple moves. But if it's, you know, if some of the rumblings and rumors are true that there's a little bit of a payroll cap in season now to go and acquire, and can they take on more money? And I'm not saying that that's the case, but there's some rumblings that maybe that's an issue during the season, acquiring someone that's going to bump the cap up, the payroll up. And so if that's the case, does that mean you're willing to maybe press the issue more with calling somebody up sooner? I don't know if that's what's happening, but that if they did it, it would make me wonder if that was why they skipped a level.
Yeah, it just feels like that's what I'm asking, because it's all hands on deck to watch him clearly. Mike Sweeney, J.J. Piccolo, and Ned Yost mentioned on Fesco in the morning that he was going down to watch the Double A team.
Fesco and Dusty,
Fesco and Dusty. He didn't say, I'm watching Jack. I mean, he mentioned Jack Caglione, but he didn't say he was going down there. It's all hands on deck. Part of me wonders if they're like, can we just get all the eyes on him? Anybody think this kid can play in the bigs? Just quick straw poll.
We're going to keep talking Royals baseball, specifically the big league level, with Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Royals. He was also at the Royals 2015 and 1985 gala last night. So we'll ask him where things are standing heading into a huge series against the Cardinals.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. Follow the station on Instagram for ticket giveaways and behind-the-scenes content from the show at The Fan 965.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you, James producing the show today. We'll get back into the latest on the stadium front, both Kansas and Missouri side. Two updates this morning that are very relevant to what could happen in the next month to month and a half. But let's talk about what's going on this weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. I-70 series going to be awesome crowds all weekend long. Weather looks great as well. You had the gala last night. 85 and 2015 celebration going on, and we welcome in Jake Eisenberg, who you of course hear right here on 96.5 The Fan throughout the Royals baseball season and on this show on Fridays at 10:30. And Jake, we haven't been trying to avoid you. I promise. We were out of town last week. I appreciate you calling
in. Sure.
We had a wedding for an old producer. You know, we had to go out to California.
No, that's totally fair. You guys always seem to have some really nice plans on Friday morning.
Now, look, you know, Friday is a great day to take off. I'm not going to pretend like it isn't.
Look, I will say, though, thinking of cool things to go to, I'm very jealous. I saw on your Instagram you were at the gala last night. Can you peel back the curtain a little bit and tell us what that was all about with the 2015 and 85 celebration?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It was pretty incredible, and I was pretty thankful to be there. You know, it was a fly on the wall, kind of just soaking in the scene, and honestly, just learning more about both of those teams. You know, I wasn't born in 1985, and so I don't have any memories of that, but obviously have learned about it plenty over the last couple of years. In 2015, you know, I remember that World Series, you know, a lot better since I was, you know, sort of there for it, and kind of remember it differently. And I've had the chance to talk to some of the guys from that team a little bit more. But just getting to be a part of that scene and kind of witness, you know, these guys telling stories and reconnecting and talking to some other folks. It was a really, really cool night. And what an incredible venue and atmosphere and a job well done by everybody in putting that together.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of like a cool scene outside of it. We were talking a little bit, though. It's like, I like that it comes at a time where I also care about the big league club. I don't like living in the nostalgia, Jake, where it's like the only thing to look forward to is that team that was good, not the team that isn't, versus the Royals right now that got one of the best players in all of baseball and are a playoff team.
Yeah, and I think to your point, I mean, I'll say this, like, I think you can separate the two if you need to, but when you combine them together, it certainly has a little bit more power, and we've kind of jokingly or half-jokingly talked about the power of the number 5, 85, 2015, obviously mm-hmm. George, number 5. And, you know, it was cool to see, to your point, Cody, there were a handful of the current Royals players that were there last night. Bobby Witt Jr. was there, Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Jonathan India, Vinny Pasquantino were all there. And it was kind of cool watching them watch these guys on the dais, the 2015 team and the 1985 team, and thinking to myself, what must they be thinking watching this scene, and what must they be thinking about how they could make a night like this possible for the group that's currently in the clubhouse now? I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, 30,000-foot view of the whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had a chance to, I'm sure if not, you'll ask them maybe tonight before the game at the ballpark, if you had a chance to talk to any of those current Royals and kind of what was going through their mind a little bit, because I'm sure it's extremely motivating, the same way last year when the pregame festivities were going on for the 24th.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
ALCS team when they were all coming out to the field again, and you heard the roar from the crowd, and they were, I remember there were players on the edge of the dugout there watching the videos and everything.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to them, but I'm sure that they would say that it's motivation, that they see the power of championship teams with the cities that they, you know, bring championships to. And no doubt they felt that last year you know, with the postseason run and bringing the Royals back to the postseason. And, you know, this is only a magnification of that, right? And so I think it's pretty inspiring and pretty moving. And I'm sure the ceremonies both before the game today and tomorrow are also going to stir up kind of similar emotions and similar inspirations. And now it's about fulfilling that.
Let's talk about the team that's on the field tonight. Royals obviously taking on the Cardinals back at home, expecting some big crowds. There's one thing that stands out more on this team that's the opposite of last year's team. And I think that that's why it stands out the most. Mostly the same players, Jake. You watch every at bat. Why is it that you think this team is struggling with runners in scoring position versus last year's team versus even just like even if it was a natural regression, I would think 10 to 15th at best in the league versus the second to last in the league right now and hitting in that spot?
Yeah, I think there is, you know, some natural regression. I do think it's also something that ebbs and flows depending upon A, who you're facing and, you know, how the season goes and who's playing well and who's playing not. It is a little bit perplexing and inexplicable, you know, specifically, you know, you would say from like Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez, two guys that were near the tops in baseball in terms of batting average with runners in scoring position last year that haven't quite gotten that to click so far this season. I will say one thing that's impressed me when it comes to the Royals approach with runners in scoring position, even though the hits haven't been falling, there is indication that they should be in some ways. It's a particularly low batting average on balls in play, lower than league average with runners in scoring position. And so you'd think that would progress to the mean a little bit. One thing the Royals are doing a great job of with runners in scoring position is not striking out. They have the second lowest strikeout rate with runners in scoring position in baseball. So it's not as if the Royals are giving up those at bats. They're either just not finding the holes, or the batted balls are a pop-up to foul ground or a fly ball to left field. It's a batted ball that's not really going to do a lot of damage. It's a little bit of a head-scratching thing, and I certainly, you know, don't know the answer, and there are certainly smarter people than me that are trying to figure it out, and no doubt, you know, the guys are trying to figure it out too, but I do think that it's something that the underlying data tells you that it's probably not going to be at this level over the course of the season, that it will improve, and hopefully soon.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. Clearly, there's unbelievable history between these two organizations. It's the I-70 series. This Cardinals team, though, one of the hottest teams in baseball heading in. I think they've won 9 of 10. What have you kind of seen with them? I know it's early in the year. Typically, you don't kind of talk about the opponent in series that in-depthly, but this is a Cardinals team, and it's magnified when they come to Kauffman Stadium.
Sure, and it's been kind of like that the last couple of years. You know, now that both of these teams are above 500, I remember when the Royals and Cardinals faced each other last year. It was the first time in August when they faced each other. It was the first time that both teams had been above 500 facing each other since, I think, 2017. And so there's a renewed vigor with this I-70 series, and especially so, you know, because it's a balanced schedule now and everybody plays everybody. So it's not as if the Cardinals are one of, you know, four National League teams on your schedule. It's one of the 29 teams that's on your schedule. This Cardinals team is really interesting because they were not expected to be particularly good. They were expected to particularly not have great starting pitching. And as it turns out, well, they've gotten red hot. They've won 10 of their last 11, split a doubleheader yesterday. Their loss in game one of the doubleheader snapped what was a 9-game winning streak. They've won 14 of their last 19. They're 4 games above 500, 1 game out of first place. And they've done it largely with a much more competent rotation than I think people from the outside looking in expected it to be. One of the things that I'm digging into, you know, right now as we speak is Andre Pallante, their starter tonight, has the highest ground ball rate in baseball this year. You know, we talk about ground ball rate with Framber Valdez all the time, and we saw what he did to the Royals, and he's done that time and time again. But as far as ground ball rate is concerned, Andre Pallante has actually been better in that department than Valdez, and was actually better than Valdez last year too. And the Royals have now seen Pallante a few times. And so this is a guy that gets a ton of ground balls. It's going to be important for the Royals to see him up if they want to get to him. And they have gotten to him before. He's started 3 games against the Royals in his career. The Royals have won all 3. But it's a really interesting pitching staff. What's notable about the Cardinals so far, other than their pitching staff, they run a ton. Victor Scott II is a speedster. Their defense has been the best in baseball in terms of outs above average and runs prevented. They've been the best defense in baseball. And so, you know, as we see with the Royals, the formula, great starting pitching, great defense, excellent team speed. That was the formula last year. So far, that's kind of in the midst for the Cardinals this year.
I know that we were just talking about regression, but there's one spot on the Royals, I guess I just don't see it coming. Between last year and the start of this year, there's absolutely no reason anymore, right, to think that the Royals starting pitching won't just be this the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible. But, like, when you have pretty much the same rotation as you did last year, you know, swap out Michael Lorenzen for Brady Singer and throw Chris Bubich back into the mix. Yeah, when they do it, you know, for 45 straight games and they're putting up a quality start every other night, yeah, there's no reason to think that this is what the starting rotation is. And that's what gives you a chance to win every single night. And we've seen the Royals, even when they've lost games, there have only been really a handful of games where they haven't, you know, had a true chance to win. You know, maybe against the Red Sox last Friday, was it, or last Saturday, the 10-1 loss. That's one where it's like, okay, it got out of hand, you know, especially a little bit later on. But, you know, even these last couple of games, a one-run loss to the Astros each of the last two games, you know, they've lost four or five, but three of those four losses have been by two runs or fewer. So the Royals are in each of these games. And look, when you give yourself a chance to win, even if it's a coin flip chance to win, look, that coin's going to land on heads, you know, at least 50% of the time. And so that's why the Royals are in such good shape. It's the starting pitching, and I don't think there's any question about that.
Before we let you go, I'm going out to the game on Saturday with some family. We got a big group, so we're sitting in like the Lexus complete seats or whatever that have like the
free. Yeah, I've heard those are great.
Yeah, I've never sat there, and I guess you get like unlimited popcorn, nachos, and hot dogs, and a soft drink. How many hot dogs should I be attacking tomorrow night, or how much do you think I should be, to get my money's worth? What do you think I should be eating here?
Ooh, to get your money's worth? Well, I mean, that's up to you. I think it'd be fun. I don't know, maybe tie it into something that's going on with the game, like have a hot dog for every inning Seth Lugo pitches.
Okay. Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
Know, which, you know, could very well be all nine. I think
you never know. Lorenzen tried the other night.
You never know with him. Or how about this? How about you eat one hot dog for every different pitch that Seth Lugo throws?
That might actually be worse than the inning pitched.
Yeah.
Somehow, Jake. I actually have one more question, too, before we go. I know that you spent a lot of time in the Royals minor league system. You got any scoop on Jack Caglione? Can you tell us when he's going to AAA?
No, I don't. I don't have any scoop, but I'll tell you this. I've talked to a bunch of people in the Royals organization. This is not specific to Jack. This is over the course of the last couple of years, and mostly when I was in AAA in 2021 and 2022. And we have conversations all the time about, hey, when do you call a guy up? When do you promote a guy? Not just from AA to AAA, but AAA to the big leagues. And what was always presented was that sample sizes are small. And the second thing that I'll say, and I think the more important thing, is that the gaps between the levels right now are, I think, a little bit larger than people realize. And that is especially true of the gap between AAA and the big leagues. And the gap in particular is largest when it comes to pitching and the quality of pitching. And that's why you see a lot of young hitters will come to the big leagues. And sure, the superstars are going to hit right away, but you've also seen a lot of guys struggle initially on because they're dealing with a much higher level of pitching. That gap in pitching is as wide as it's ever been between AAA and the big leagues. And I would assume it's also pretty big between AA and AAA. I'm not saying that that's a reason to keep one guy in one place or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's been a month. It's been a month and a half. And yes, results can be amazing. But there's also something to be said about seeing those results continue to be amazing for a longer period of time. And I actually thought J.J. Piccolo said something really interesting about that in particular as it relates specifically to Jack Caglione. I want to say this about a week and a half ago, that now he's starting to see teams in the Texas League for a second time. And so he's starting to get pitched differently by those teams that are making adjustments. And so he's now having to make adjustments himself at the highest level of pitching that he's ever seen for the first time. And I think that's a really interesting piece of a player's development, whether it's Jack Caglione or anybody else, making those adjustments at the highest level, seeing how you get pitched a second time. And if you're still crushing it, well, yeah, by all means, that's what's going to help you get promoted and move on up. That's obviously also just one piece of the puzzle. There's also the defensive piece of the puzzle. We've seen him playing a little bit more right field. He's also still playing first base. And so there's also something to be said, and I'll say this, the last thing. There's also something to be said about some stability, some staticness within your first full minor league season. You know, I remember when Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado and MJ Melendez were this prospect triumvirate in AA in 2021, and they were all lighting the world on fire. And, you know, there was a lot of clamoring of when's Bobby coming up? When's Nick coming up? When's MJ coming up? And we were especially excited in Omaha for that. Well, Bobby and Nick came up in July of that year. And then, yeah, lit the world on fire the rest of the way. MJ Melendez came up in August of that year. And, yeah, lit the world on fire the rest of the way. But there's something to be said about having your feet under you in one place with one team and one set of details and travel circumstances and all that stuff in your first full season of minor league baseball. And so I'll say this, when Jack Caglione is ready to be in AAA or even in the big leagues, I have no doubt that the Royals are going to press that button when it's best for the team, when it's best for Jack and everybody else involved. Until then, I think you just enjoy watching what we're watching at any level that he's playing at or any other prospect is playing at.
Well, we'll be waiting for the first Jake Eisenberg, Jack Caglione home run call, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whether it's 3 months from now, I don't know, but we'll be ready, man.
I'll say this. He gave us some practice in spring training.
Yeah, no doubt. I bet. All right, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Take care, guys.
There you go. That's Jake Eisenberg. Of course, you'll hear him throughout the weekend here on 96.5 The Fan, calling Royals Cardinals I-70 series. We'll get back into specifically kind of this series and the magnitude of it and everything like that. But people are saying I should do the 999 challenge. Whew. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to be with
family?
My nephews and families. And like,
your nephew's not 21.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. No,
I might be willing
to do what he suggested with Seth Lugo in terms of for every inning Lugo pitches, I have to have a hot dog. So maybe hopefully it's seven or eight hot dogs
tomorrow
night.
If he goes that deep, you know.
He's pitching tomorrow night.
Yeah, he is.
So yeah, that we'll see. But yeah, man, I was thinking more like a comfortable 3 or 4 hot dog night. But you get to 7 or 8, then I feel like you're getting that real uncomfortable.
You are starting to get a little uncomfortable at that point. There's almost no way to ignore it.
Let's talk about the stadiums just briefly, because I feel like there was a couple interesting comments made today. This actually comes from over on KCMO Talk Radio. And first of all, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe was on their show, and he said he does plan to call a special session for the Missouri legislature in early June. This, of course, is significant because that will be potentially the opportunity to once again try to pass the stadium funding bill that would open up some funding mechanisms for a new Royals ballpark, for Arrowhead renovations. We all know they did not take it to a vote during the 2025 session that adjourned. I guess that would have been on Wednesday afternoon. So that's where we're at. He hasn't officially called it, but he's saying he plans to call.
He's gonna.
Also, on that same station, KCMO Talk Radio, they had the Kansas Speaker of the House. That's Dan Hawkins. And he was quoted as saying, quote, "I don't think we're in a position to extend the star bond offer right now for the Chiefs Royals. We still have 6 weeks to go before the offer ends. We kind of expect to have a deal by the deadline." He was then asked about which team could they potentially land. And he said, quote, "Actually, we feel pretty good about both teams. The Royals have been in talks for quite a while. I think we're on the edge of getting something done. The Chiefs have come a long way with talks with the Commerce Department." Continue to say, "I was a little worried that would never happen, but all of the sudden it is really picked up." It seems like we are like narrowing in on this like June showdown. All right, Missouri, you're going to potentially have a special session. If you don't get the funding mechanism figured out during that special session, then Kansas is saying, we're not extending our star bonds ever right this second. We're basically setting a deadline for the teams. End of June. That's when the star bonds expire. And I understand they could potentially extend them, but that's not the plan. To me, they're trying to create a firm deadline. And so I feel like June is the showdown, Cody. Missouri, you either get this funding mechanism bill passed to open up more funding. Otherwise, basically, Kansas is saying, we're right here. We've already been talking. Let's make this thing happen. I feel like June is the magic month.
I think it's pretty obvious that Kansas wants an actual deadline, like you said. So June 30th, not just June. June 30th is the drop-dead date. If Missouri can't get something done by then, well, then we're not having this conversation, which is why it's rumored for June for the special session and this showdown and everything else in between. I think what stands out is, look, the Secretary of State's always going to say, we're confident we're getting both. That part stands out a little, but also, you know, Q 2 days ago said, we're confident, right, you know, right. Like now they've all said they're having more conversation with one versus the other. The more interesting part is like the Chiefs have really laid in the weeds in this one. I am convinced the Chiefs really wanted the Royals to make their decision, have their funding mechanisms, find out if they're trying to ask Clay County for the money, Jackson County for the money, Missouri, Kansas, so that they could play the other as in, you're going to lose us. We're the only one left on the table. And if it's, so maybe it's later than June for the Chiefs, but with the star band, the star bond stuff, I don't think so.
I'm just talking about the funding part. It sure feels like June is truly the month for that, just based off of the star bonds and the Speaker of the House on the Kansas side saying that's not getting extended. And I'm assuming that's to create some true deadline. And obviously the governor of Missouri recognizing that the star bonds expire in Kansas at the end of the month, knowing that like they've got to act before the end of the month. And that's where the special session comes into play.
Because the Chiefs aren't going to want to lose out on that money, which means Missouri. Yeah, it's always the same
stuff. So who
knows?
Like first or second week of June is something to keep an eye on in Missouri is what it appears to be the case when it comes to that.
Yeah, when they said June or July, I wouldn't be surprised if June. I think June is when we find out this is where they're going. It might be July before we see a rendering, see the final funding mechanisms, the final plan, how they're going to, who they're going to ask to vote for what if they just got the money from the city, whoever, or the state, whoever, the county. But like I think what state they're going in is decided by the end of June. Because if you're going to take advantage, as you said, of either Missouri state money or Kansas state money, there's a deadline and it's 6 weeks from today. I mean, based on everybody talking from both sides of the state who are against each other in this, right? They're pitted against each other after, I don't know, what they have, 10 years apiece?
Whatever the border war truce thing was.
Yeah. They had 10 years apiece or so without going to battle over each other. Good. Because I don't want to have to come on this show every week for eternity and give you one little nugget of information. And instead, I want what everybody wants, which is knowing where these teams are going to go. But it actually feels like it's coming to a head a little bit, like it did the last time before the vote, where you could kind of sense some finality to it. Obviously, we didn't get that because the vote failed.
Sure.
Or we wouldn't still be talking about this, and we'd be showing you videos of a shovel in a ground over by Power and Light. But instead, you know, it's still the Washington Square Park, Clay County. I don't know what Kansas site would be in the mix, but whatever, you know, wherever.
I think I will say all the sites that have been at this point, I think, there's not some mystery site for either state line, by the way. Like, I think
will the Royals be at Legends too?
I think any of the sites that have been mentioned in Kansas, of the sites that have been mentioned in Missouri,
those are the sites.
One of those is ultimately where they're playing. I don't think there's some magic site that's never been mentioned before that all of a sudden is going to come out of the woodwork. I don't. So whether you think it's Clay County in Missouri downtown on the Kansas side, whether you think that the known spots have been discussed, I think those are the sites. It's just, ultimately, where are the teams going to choose, and can Missouri compete with the star bonds? And the only way to do that is in the special session if they actually pass the stadium funding amendment or bill that they were trying to do. That's where we're at, and we know they were not able to do that in the regular session.
We know you like renderings. How do you feel about shovel in the ground, ribbon photos? Does that do anything for you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
That's a very
in front of like the thing they're gonna demolish photo, you know?
That's a photo op. That's all that is. That's a photo op. That's just a photo op.
In all of my early media days, I only had to cover one thing like that, and it's when they were demolishing the completely built, never used mall where they were going to demolish and build the IKEA. So I just went there and I took some video for KCPT of them like taking a wrecking ball to this shopping mall that they had built. Fully built and never had a single tenant in the entire time, then demolished and then built an IKEA instead. It was the only time I had to cover anything like that. And there was no ribbon. They just took a wrecking ball to it. They you know, made sure we were at a safe distance.
Yeah. Yeah, the shovel thing doesn't, no. No, actual renderings, man. Actual renderings would be great.
Yeah, that'd be nice. One day, you know, one day.
All right, up next, something that is going to happen very soon in the Olympics, and that is flag football. The latest that the NFL is trying to make happen, and how does it impact Patrick Mahomes? Is he actually going to play in this thing? That's coming up next.
Listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays starting at 10 on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.